If you'll open your Bibles to the Psalm 136, we kind of have a tradition. We've done it for years and years and years that, you know, on Thanksgiving Eve, we get together and just tell God thank you. Amen. Are you thankful for anything tonight? Come on. Are you thankful that you're here? I hope so. Are you thankful that, you know, it's like this one guy was witnessing to an atheist you know, the Christian was saying, well, you need to be grateful to God. He said, what do I need to be grateful to God for? He said, I've got nothing to be grateful to God for. He said, I just saw something you have, you know, I just saw what you have to be grateful for. He said, what did you see? He said, I saw you breathe. Right? I saw you breathe in and out. You better be grateful for God that He's allowing you to breathe. Right? Hallelujah. And the Bible talks about he gives us air to breathe. Amen. Glory to God. It's so good, so good. But tonight I want to talk about Thanksgiving, but I want to talk about giving thanks. So Thanksgiving and giving thanks, it's the same thing, but it's kind of a little bit different. And if you look at Psalm 136, and it's a pretty familiar psalm, but let's just read through this a little bit. And then we'll get to the points that I want to make. Oh, give thanks in the Lord, for He is good, and for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks in the Lord, the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck Egypt and their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His mercy endures forever, to Him who divided the Red Sea into two, for His mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through it in the midst of it, for His mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who struck down the great kings, for His mercy endures forever, and slew the famous kings, for His mercy endures forever. Shion, the king of the Amorites, for His mercy endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for His mercy endures forever, a heritage to Israel, His servant, for His mercy endures forever, who remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever, and rescued us from the enemies, for His mercy endures forever, who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures for heaven. So His mercy endures forever. But watch this. It's so important that we understand that the object of our thanks is God, right? He's the object of our thanks. I'm thanking God for what? For everything that He's done for me. But I like the fact that this is specific. You know, it talks about the attributes of God. It talks about who God was and what He's done and what He's done in the past. And I think it's really important that we continually give thanks and thanks to God. And we, on purpose, on a daily basis, we make it a point to thank God continually. Now watch this. I think there's verses in the Bible that talk about praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks and all of that. But I think that we have to come back to the fact that we're giving thanks to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God is the object of our thanksgiving. You know, we have many things. We have people in our lives that we're thankful for. But at the end of the day, we need to ensure that we're thanking God for even the people that He sent our way. Right? Even the things that we have, everything, it has to go back to Him. You know, I've been doing a study on worship, and we're going to get into that in a series in a little bit. But worship is so incredible, but we have to worship on purpose, and God's really interested in our worship, and thanksgiving is part of our worship, right? But we're thanking God. We're worshiping the one who is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He's the one that put the stars in place, right? But we've got to be on purpose thanking God. Thank Him for what? For everything. In everything. What do I mean by that? We ought to be thanking God in other words, when we wake up tomorrow and we put our feet on the floor, and it might take us a little bit longer to get going than it used to, but we've got to thank God that we're able to get up. We got to thank God that He still put breath in us. We have to thank God for everything that He's done for us. I was listening to somebody, I think it was Miles Monroe, but he was talking about worship, and he was talking about singing a new song, and it was an emphasis, you know, to thanking God, but a new song comes out of what God has done for you lately. In other words, what has God done for you today? What did He do for you yesterday? And so if God has really done something, like if He's brought you out of something, or, you know, you prayed to God and that was in a hopeless situation, but He pulled you through, right? You would begin to thank Him, and you'd be excited about the fact that, you know, you didn't lose your house, or you know, your loved one was healed or whatever. You'd be in a situation where you'd be thanking God with a new song because there was something new that happened that you could thank God for. Well, my contention is that we have something new to thank God for all the time. But on purpose, we need to give thanks. But desperation or discouragement can keep us out of the place of thanksgiving. In fact, we're in Psalm 136. Go to Psalm 137 for just a minute. And Psalm 37 is when Israel was led into captivity. And so the Chaldeans had taken them out. But watch this. Verse 1, it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept." They were taken out of the promised land and taken into captivity. But watch this. This is really important to catch. That they were taken away from Jerusalem, where the temple was. In other words, they couldn't go to the temple every day or once a year, whenever they could get there. They were now in captivity. They were outside of the presence of God. So what did they do? They were weeping. And how come they were there? They were there because as a nation, they began to worship other gods. They walked away from what God had told them to do and walked away from what God had said. Watch this. Verse 2 says, "We hung up our harps on the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill." What he was saying is, because we're not in the presence of God, how can we sing to God? And so what they did, and I love this picture, is they were in a discouraged place, in a place away from where they wanted to be or thought they should be. And what they did is they sat down and they cried. Why? Because they couldn't go to the presence of God. But not only did they sat down, I like this picture, they saw a willow tree, and they took their musical instruments, and they put them on the tree. Why? Because we can't do anything to worship God anymore because we're not in His presence. Now that was under the Old Testament and under the law and all of those things, but we're not living there anymore. We're living with the fact that Jesus has made access to the throne absolutely accessible to any one of us anytime 24/7. But I think we have left our instruments of praise, mainly our voices, on the willow tree instead of using it as a weapon for God. First of all, God deserves our praise. Would you say that's true? Would you say that He deserves our worship? That He's Lord and that we should bow down to Him? It's interesting, but the word Lord means controller of things. It means owner of things. I'll just give you something that you'll know right now. How many have ever rented a house or apartment or whatever? Who's the person that collects the rent? The landlord, right? It's because He owns the land. So when we're saying to God that You're my Lord, what we're saying is that You own me. And what we're saying, we're giving You control of me. We made Jesus the Lord of our lives. What we said is we no longer want to be in control of our lives, but we want You to be in control of our lives. And one of the greatest ways to keep our attitude and our perspective in the right place is to worship Him at all times. Whatever you're going through, get your focus back on Him and find something to be grateful for. Find something to be thankful for, but look at it as the source or the object of that thanksgiving is God. No matter, even if you're thankful to somebody else for something that they've done for you, or you're thankful for the doctors who've given you medicine and you feel better, even if that's the case, you have to turn around and say, I'm glad that God used them, but He's the source of everything that I have, right? When I went to Africa a few years ago, and I'm feeling more stirred that we need to go back, but went to Africa a few years ago on the way over there and praying. It's like, Lord, what do You want me to tell them? Why am I going? What is it that I'm going there for? Because they don't need just another American coming over. What they need is somebody who's sent over by the Spirit of God to do something for them. And so my prayers for them and talking with them, the Lord spoke to me. And when I say that, I was just impressed in my heart. And then it came to my mind that they needed to look at God as their source. And that the people who God used to give them resources as their resource. In other words, that, you know, your job may be the place where you get money to come in to live on, but that's just your resource. The source of that living is Him. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to on purpose give thanks. We have to be pointed to God as the object of our thanks, but we also have to be specific with our thanks. What are we thankful for? If we'll keep God as the object of our thanks, then everything that we go through, we can give thanks. Now watch this. I believe that thanksgiving in advance is the language of faith. What do I mean by that? You're praying about something, and according to Mark 11:23, you believe that you receive, and Jesus said you'll have it. So once you've prayed, you believe that you receive the thing. So what you're doing in advance, even before you see it, you are thanking God for it. Does that make sense? It's like if you came up to me and said, listen, I've got a bill, and that bill is due on Friday, and I'm $500 short. And you say, okay, I'll get you $500. Thank you. You'd be thanking me for that $500, and I hadn't written the check yet. I haven't gotten any money out of my wallet. I hadn't gone to the bank yet. But because you trusted me, you believed me, you would thank me when I said I'd do it. See, and that's where we're at with our walk with God. We need to not only thank Him for what we have, but we need to thank Him for what He's promised. Lord, I thank You right now that I have peace right now. In the midst of this chaos, Lord, You said that I could have peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in everything I'm going to give thanks. God, I'm going to give You thanks right now. Thanksgiving. Thank You, Lord, that You're with me. Thank You that You're never going to leave me nor forsake me. Thank You, God, that You're going to walk through me with this. Now watch this. Sometimes we balk at the struggles, but sometimes our struggles are the greatest source of thanksgiving. Right? Think about this for a minute. In the story of Israel coming out of Egypt, and finally they went through the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh finally said, get out of here. And so they marched out of there, and it says that they marched out of there with people's gold and all the food that they needed, and just an amazing, incredible jewelry. All that stuff was coming to them, and they're marching out of it in that particular case. And then they came to the Red Sea. But as they were facing the Red Sea behind them, the Pharaoh changed his mind, right? And so he's coming at them, and so they're trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. And so what did God do? And there was some mumbling going on, some complaining of what do we do now, right? And they focused on their situation rather on the God that promised them that they'd get to the promised land. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But as soon as the sea opened up and they went through it, and then the army of Egypt followed behind them, and then the water came back and surrounded them. The first thing they did on the other side is they sang a song. Moses had a song about, the horse and rider are thrown into the sea. My God, he's my strength, my shield. He's my fortress. You see, they had to go through the experience of being up against it, watching God's deliverance, before they could have a song of thanksgiving that would last for centuries. So what am I saying? That in the midst of what you're going through, in the midst of things you don't understand, in the midst of being in a situation that you don't know the way out, you can thank God in advance for your deliverance. Why? Because the same God who led them out will lead me out. Right? And in fact, the book of Psalms in different places, it's testimony of how great God is and what a great deliverer He was. Right? But we need to be at the place where that's not just a story that we're reading isn't that nice? We have to be looking at it from the fact that God's mercy still endures forever and ever. And His mercy is over me. Back in Psalm 136, we could go to any one of them. Verse 4 says, to Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. What does that mean? That means that even in my situation, the one who does great wonders, His mercy is still available to me. Thank God for His mercy. Right? Thank God for His mercy. And today we can thank God for His grace. I love the definition or the way that it was stated to me years ago. It says, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Right? So I thank God that I'm not getting what I deserve, but I'm also thanking God for the grace that gives me what I don't deserve. I don't deserve to be loved by God, but He loves me anyway. I don't deserve, come on, I, I, I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I'm going anyway because His grace has been bestowed upon me. I don't deserve to carry the anointing, but I carry the anointing because His grace is upon me. So I have something to thank Him about all the time if I'll keep Him at the center of my worship and the center of my thanksgiving. Right? Glory to God. I I'm not saying that, this is so cool. I'm not saying that, you know, when people come up to you and they say, well, you know, you did that great thing and that was awesome. And, you know, they tell you, you know, I might have sang a song and they said, boy, man, that song was great, man. That really ministered to me. And I don't have to, no. I don't want any glory for that. Give all the glory to God. To them, I can just say thank you. But when I get by myself, I need to thank God that He gave me the ability and the privilege of being used by Him to help somebody. You see what I'm saying? So in everything and really for everything, we ought to be thanking God. All of us or most of us are going to be sitting down at a meal tomorrow. And the whole purpose of the meal is to reflect on the first and the initial giving of thanks that happened in the United States. And that happened, and the whole purpose of it is we survived another year, right? And we want to give God thanks for the harvest that's going to help us get through another year, right? There's a thanksgiving of the harvests that come in that this is going to help feed us until the crops grow again next year, right? But the thanksgiving was, as God, you sent us to this land, you established us in this land, and we're in this land by your providence, but we want to thank you that your mercy has been over us and that you've helped us survive. Sometimes our greatest weapon for discouragement is that we'll remember that God's with us in the midst of whatever we're going through, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. That's in several places in the Old Testament. That particular verbiage is written. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. What does that mean? We're going to overcome not because we're greater, not because we're better than our enemies, but because His mercy is over us. Oh, thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His love. Thanks God for His bountifulness. Jehoshaphat, again, was up against all those armies, and he sought God, and you know, the prophet came up to him and said, everything's going to be good, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to send the singers out before the rest of the army. And so they did that, and the song was, you know, thank God, or praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. They hadn't won the battle yet. They were just marching to the battle. What am I saying? I'm saying that we need to be cognizant of the fact that in our whole lives, everything that we're surrounded with, God's in the middle of, and He should get our thanks. He should get our attention. He should get our worship. Amen? Come on. Because He's good and His mercy endures forever. So what do we give God thanks for? His mercy. We give thanks to God because He's the one who's brought us this far. How many are thankful that you're saved? Right? How many are thankful that... And the Bible says that you don't really find God, but God reaches out to you, because the Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit that draws us into a decision for Christ. So even in my salvation, it's a free gift from God, but I can't even take credit for getting it, or, you know, He brought it to me. I had a part of that because I had to make a choice to make Him the Lord of my life, but thanksgiving for in everything and with everything confirms that choice. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So for what I've had, what I'm going through, I can give thanks to God. But even what's ahead of me, I can thank God that He's going to be with me. We've seen that over and over in the history of this church where it was like, God, if you don't come through, there's no way that we're going to make it through. We're not, but you promised it. You put it in our hearts, so we're going to do it, right? Now watch, I'll give you an example of that, and some of you were here at that time, but years ago, Sarah came to me and she said, listen, I believe God wants us to put on, a weekend for all the foster care kids in Kitsap County. And we're going to rent Miracle Ranch for the whole weekend. And, you know, I said, okay. I mean, I didn't get a check about that, but okay. I said, well, how much do you think that's going to cost? Well, I think about $22,000. Well, we were having a tough time paying the rent at that time, right? About $22,000. And I went, every foster care kid in the county of Kitsap, we're going to invite, we're going to pay their way, we're not going to ask them for anything. And on top of that, we're going to make sure that they go home with something. Now watch this. But we felt in our heart that that was God. And I said, all right, we'll do it. We'll do it. And so we started making the arrangements. But in the Thanksgiving part of it, it's not like you thank God and then forget about it. You thank God and take a step. You thank God and then take another step. And then you thank God and take another step. And if you'll take enough steps under the direction of the Holy Spirit, you'll find that you'll be on the other side of the Red Sea and you can sing a song of thanksgiving for what He's done. Look what the Lord has done. And the first year, I mean, kids were out, and I know Joan was a big part of that. They were out all over the place. It was really cold, if I remember right, that fall that we were saving up for that. And they were out at stores and just giving people opportunities to give to this vision. And you know what? We did it. We didn't do it just 1 year. We did it 2 years. And God was with us. And at the end, I don't know how we did that. But thank God that He supplied. Thank God that we were able to minister to those children. And it wasn't just about giving them a camp experience. Every one of them went home with their own Bible. Their own Bible. They had their own Bible and they had an opportunity to hear the gospel. Right? And so here's what I'm saying is when God gives you a vision or gives you something to do, begin to thank Him for the mercy that's over you so that you can accomplish what He has put in your heart to do. Glory to God. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Because if you're in God and if God is with you, then He'll give you the means to do it even though it seems impossible with you. Right? What is belief? Belief is nothing more than acting on what somebody else has said because you trust that they'll do what they said they'd do. Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. Again, if I said to you, listen, God's put it on my heart, and what I want you to do is I want you to go down to the Cadillac dealer tomorrow. And I want you to look at find out which Cadillac you want. And I'll be down there at 3:00. And at 3:00, we'll sign the paperwork and you'll walk off with a brand new Cadillac. You need to start thanking God the minute that I say that, if I have the resources to do that, right? Because you're going to receive that Cadillac at 3:00 because my word is good. Do you see what I'm saying? And so when we're in the Word of God and we see a promise of God, Lord, I can thank You in advance that Your peace that passes all understanding guards my heart and my mind. I can thank You and praise You, God, that You will supply all of my needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can give thanks in the fact that even though I don't have the money right now or my bill is not paid right now, I know that You're the one who will pay the bill because Your mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Amen? Watch this one. This is an incredible scripture, but it's absolutely true. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and actually chapter 8 and chapter 9 are all about an offering and giving and doing what God puts on your heart to do. Well, actually, let's go back a little bit and just read through this with the idea of what I'm talking about tonight. Verse 5 says, "Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brothers to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. By this, I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now watch this. This is the verse that I wanted to get through. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Next verse. "For as it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever and ever." Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we can count on, he is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I, having sufficiency in all things, am able to give to every good work. Now watch this. When we think about that, we're thinking about money or an offering, and that's the context of what it's saying. But I believe this is true in everything. How can I love the unlovable? Because God's grace has abounded to me. His love has been shed abroad in my heart. And I can thank God that even if I don't want to do it, if I'll just step out and do it, God will be with me and he'll get the results that he wants. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can thank God in the midst of what God has asked us to do because God's with us doing it. Let me say that again. We can thank God in the midst of what God has asked us to do because God's in the midst of it doing it with us or through us. Right? Thank you, God. God, you put on my heart to go witness to my neighbor. Well, God, that's a great opportunity because I know as I go, even though I don't know what I'm going to say, I don't know what they need or whatever, I'm going because you asked me to go. And if you ask me to go, your mercy is over me, your favor is over me, your grace is over me. So I can thank you, God, that you're going to give me the words to speak even before I go. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is in our everyday life, not only in everything, but for everything, it's like, God, if you're with me, who can stand against me? Even in the midst of our trial, there's scriptures like, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. We need to have and practice our thanksgiving even in the midst of some of the roughest things that we go through. I'm reminded of the early church and how that they were, you know, persecuted and then prosecuted, and it was horrible. Stories of how in the Roman Colosseum, which is equivalent to our football stadiums, that there would have, you know, they had the stands going up and then they had basements underneath, and in the basements underneath there were cells and different compartments, and that's where the prisoners were held, but that's also where the lions were held. And so they starved these lions and then throw them in the middle of the arena, and then they'd feed the prisoners to them. Literally, feed the prisoners to them. And the lions would come and tear them up. But Christians were in cells waiting to go into the lion's den, and they could hear them. The ones that were coming were beginning to sing psalms and praise God for the opportunity to be able to witness for His name, to be suffer for His name, to be martyred for His name. They would be singing songs in the midst of that agony. They were thanking God that they were saved. They were thanking God that His strength was with them. And here's what happened is, here'd be the few that were going out to be, killed, and the rest of the Christians that were in there would join in the singing, and the singing would become a crescendo going out, and they could hear that in the stands, hear these people that were going to be tortured and killed and maimed and all of that, that they were coming out, and they heard all these people worshiping. Why? Because in the midst of their suffering, they were still people who gave God thanks. Right? So I don't know what we're going through. I don't know. And sometimes we just can't answer questions. Right? I wish I had the answer for everything, but I don't. Why did this person die that we prayed for, but this person got healed? Why did this happen and why didn't that happen? I don't know all those answers, but here's what I do know, that the same God who was with Moses, the same God who was with Noah, the same God who was with Daniel, the same God who was with Jesus, the same God who was with Paul, the same God who was with Peter is with me, right? And like Paul, we need to get to the place where in all things we've learned to be content. Whatever state we're in, how do we get there? We get there by keeping our focus on the one and true God and be thankful in the midst of it. Remember the story in the book of Acts, and this is an incredible story, that Paul and Silas were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. And they'd caused a big stir. They were in prison and they were down in the bottom. And the Bible and commentaries that I've read, they were in like the dungeon area of this prison. And so it was dark. It was dank. It was, musty. Have you ever been in an old, used to have root cellars, right? Years ago. And my grandpa had a house, and in his house, he had a dug out basement where it was just kind of a hole in the ground. But you go down there and you could just smell the dank, the dusty, the moldy. It was not a pleasant place to be. But here was Paul and Silas, and it says that they were in stocks or in chains. So they were down there in the midst of a place that probably stank, and there were probably rats and everything else, but they're chained and they'd been beaten and whipped, and so they're in misery physically. But it says at midnight, they began to praise God. They began to thank God for even the fact that they were counted worthy to suffer for His namesake. They began to thank God and worship God. And I believe that it's part of that thanksgiving was the key to unlock the shackles and got them out. So what am I saying tonight? I'm saying that thanksgiving should be such a part of our lives that people who are on the outside just kind of go, man, why are you always thanking God? Seems like you're thanking God for everything. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Why? Because the Bible says in everything give thanks. The Bible says that it's in Christ Jesus that we move, we live, and we have our being. I need to thank God for everything that He's done. And I need to be specific with that thanksgiving. Because His mercy over me, His love over me, His life living through me gives me the ability to do whatever He's asked me to do. your life might not be 100% of where you thought it should be. And if you focus on that, you'll be a person who's grumbling and complaining and feeling, you know, like you haven't measured up. And I think all of us could say, you know, if we've been saved for any amount of time, that I could be further along in my walk with God. I could have done more for God. I could have done, you know, if we focus on that, first of all, we forget the mercy of God. We forget that He forgives our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But it also shackles us to be able to be used by God. I like the verse that says His mercy is new every morning. Every morning. Every morning. I believe it's available every night too, right? I believe it's available right here, right now. So what am I saying? I'm saying that if we missed it, if we messed up, if we're doing things that we shouldn't do, stop doing those, but thank God for His mercy and go on, because it's never too late to do what He's asking you to do or what He's asking you to do. Why? Because you still have breath in your lungs. You still have life in your body. Your mind is still working. You can thank God not only in everything, but for everything. Thank Him for everybody that's around you. I thank You, Lord, for my son and my daughter, my wife, my grandkids. I thank You for everybody that I'm associated with my immediate family, but also my church family. I thank You, God, for even the people that are mad at me, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for even those people that have said things that aren't right about me. I want to thank You, God, for all of that. Why? Because You've used all of that to shape me, to guide me, to mold me into the person that You want me to be. I want to thank You, God, for everything. I just want to give thanks to God. How about you? Right? How about you? I want you to be able to thank God tomorrow at the table and have something specific to thank Him for. And if it's thank Him for the meal, that's amazing, because the Bible says in the New Testament, it says everything is good to eat if you'll eat it with thanksgiving. You know, Paul said in the Old Testament there were certain dietary restrictions, but under grace, you whatever's put before you, if you'll eat it with thanksgiving, it's all right. I like that. I don't think you should just eat everything and anything, but what I like about that is that every time we eat is a reminder that we're to thank God. You know, it really doesn't say pray over your meal. It says to give thanks for your meal. Thanks for your meal. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, asking God to take any salmonella out of it or you know, anything like that. But I think it's more important that you put the source of your provision at the center of your attention. Thank You, God, for what You've done. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for everything that You've done. Amen? Hallelujah. So tomorrow, when you're sitting around before you have the meal, thank God. Give everybody an opportunity to thank God for something. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You for ministering by Your Spirit tonight. I thank You, Lord, that those who are watching at home, Lord, that You would just touch them and bless them. And I just speak blessing over their day tomorrow, Lord. And again, not everybody in the nation will spend time thanking You for Your providence over our nation, for blessing us so much. So we're going to do it for them right now. We just thank You, God, for the United States of America, where we can live free. We thank You, Lord, that Your hand is still upon us. We thank You, Lord, that the gospel is being preached, Lord, that many people are being blessed and the poor are being reached out to. We thank You, God, for this land that You've given us, and we want to give You all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Happy Thanksgiving. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.